Happy Sabbath. Welcome to virtual church here at the Brookings Seventh-day Adventist Church. And we give welcome to all of our members from Brookings and Gold Beach and possibly others who may have tuned in for this special Sabbath service. It feels a little different here speaking in a church that looks like it's empty, but of course we remember that the church is the people of God. You take the word church, C-H-U-R-C-H, and the middle two letters of that word is U-R. You are the church. It's not a building, it's the people, and it would seem that the circumstances of today with not being able to gather in our building can be a good reminder that we are the church, whether or not we're in a building that we have built or any building, but we are the people of God, the ones who are called out to follow Jesus Christ and gathering in homes or wherever you may be. So today, we just want to mention a couple of things that are practical before we get into the message. And one of them is that I received a request from Maggie, who would like to know if anyone who is not on the Call 'Em All message would please let us know and give us your phone number. We can add numbers to receive the periodic phone calls from Maggie about updates on what's happening in the church. So if you are not receiving those calls and you would like to receive them, please send me a text message with your phone number and we'll add your phone number to the list. And my number is 304-694-4137. 304-694-4137. Just send me a text message, or you can call. You can leave it on the voicemail, or I'll just pick up the call, take down your number, and I will forward those on to Maggie. If you would like to call Maggie directly, I'm sure she'll be happy to receive a call from you if you'd like to just give her your number yourself. We also have started a prayer call time. So every morning at 6 o'clock, by request of those who joined in the first day, which was Friday, 6 a.m., you can call in. We did it this morning. We'll do it again tomorrow. And for the foreseeable weeks, we'll have a daily 6 a.m. prayer call. We go for about a half an hour. And the number for that is 503-300-6845. That number again is 503-300-6845. And the code is 887-408. 887-408. And I've actually put this on the church Facebook page. It's on one of the posts that was done a day or two ago. So you could go back to look at that. We'll put it again. But if you'd like to join in on the morning prayer call at 6 a.m., and we've also set up, for those who don't like to get up early and talk on the phone at 6, we'll be doing three during the week. So Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 7 p.m. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 7 p.m. And so we'll be happy to have anybody who wants to call in, and we can have a prayer time just there over the phone. And it's amazing. We share praises, we share requests, we pray for one another, and there's a feeling of strength and a feeling of support that comes from that. And in some ways, I have felt even closer to some of our members as I've talked to them on the phone than I do here in the general meetings. You know, we come to church and we don't always have time to talk as much and just see how we're doing. And so those are just a few housekeeping items that I'm going to mention one more as we get into the message, but I'll save that one for a few minutes from now. But let us invite the Lord's presence with us into our worship service together as we pray. Our Father in heaven, on this unusual Sabbath, when we meet privately and yet together, I pray for a special sense of your Holy Spirit's presence among us as a people, not as a gathering in one building, but as a gathering together in heart and mind and in spirit. That you will remind us that we are here, your people, that you are with us, and that in this time we can still maintain our connection with you and with one another. And we pray these things today in Jesus' name, amen. The message that I want to share this morning is entitled, How to Live in the Last Days. How to Live in the Last Days. And many have wondered, is this coronavirus the beginning of the end? Is this one of the seven last plagues? Is this the beginning of the Battle of Armageddon, as I raised the question last night in the message? What are we to make of this and of the times in which we live? Some have felt that all of this lockdown and quarantine and so on is actually a manifestation of Revelation 13 and the mark of the beast and control of the government. Others have reminded us that in Leviticus 13, same chapter number, we have the reminders of the quarantines for health purposes in the Old Testament, and they said it's not a Revelation 13 moment, but a Leviticus 13 moment. In any case, we know that perhaps what we're experiencing today is a good practice for times when things will be different in the future. It is a time when we have to adjust to new things and new ways, and we want to take advantage of this. It is a unique opportunity to consider what we do at a time like this. Do we maintain our faith? Do we maintain our togetherness as a people, even though we're limited in some ways that we weren't limited before? I do believe that we can. I want to look at some scriptures from the book of Daniel. Now, we had our Sabbath school lesson today on Daniel chapter 11, and I will look at a couple of texts in Daniel chapter 11 and some of the in other parts of the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel is a great book that helps us to understand things about the last days. And so let us take a look at what this book tells us about the people of God and how we are to live in these times. And there's a little word that is used called wise, or the word wisdom, that is repeatedly used in the book of Daniel. And I want to take a look at several of these texts and how they apply to us. The first one reminds us that wisdom, spiritual wisdom, or skill in living for God, is a gift of God. It's in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21 where we read, "And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding." God gives wisdom as a gift. None of us are wise in and of ourselves, spiritually speaking, that is, or in any other way. Everything's a gift from God. The very breath that we breathe, our hearts that are beating, everything is a gift from God. And the very first time that we achieve spiritual wisdom, I hate to use the word achievement because it's all the work of God reaching out to us, but through faith, as we respond to the outreach of God reaching out to us with the beautiful news of His love and His grace, we begin to develop a spiritual wisdom that comes to us through the grace of God. And the text here says that He gives wisdom to the wise, so it's not just a one-time gift, but it's a continuous gift. And the more you walk with Jesus, the more you learn about Him, and we think of the old song, you know, since I started for the kingdom, since my life He controlled, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. And so we want to think about that today. How does this wisdom work in the life of believers who are living in the last days? Let's take a look at the next place in the book of Daniel where the word is used in this sense, and it talks about the people of God being able to do things that are unusual and that are special. We have it in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, where we read, And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. A reference here to powers that be in the end times. But there's that little conjunction, and now we have the people of God in the last days coming into the picture. What does it say that they would do? These people who have the gift of wisdom. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. So when there is darkness in the last days, when there is pressure, when there is problems, when there are unexpected things and everything is changing and nothing is the same, that is not a time to weaken. It is a time to be strong, when we can be strong in the strength of God, through the grace of God. You can be a stronger Christian today than you were last week or last month, even in the midst of the coronavirus crisis. As you trust in Him, as you go to Him each day, as you remember your relationship with Him, as you allow His grace to work in you, you can be strong. And it is not just to be a strong Christian, but to do exploits, as the text says, to do special things, to do unusual things as a believer. And I would just like to talk about one of those for just a moment. You might think this is a mundane thing, but it will be quite an accomplishment if we're able to do it. And that is, as a church, when we don't have the opportunity to meet together, when we're reminded, you know, and someone stands up here and reminds us about the financial needs of the church, the need to take care of the building, the need to support the outreach of the church, the need to remember our tithes and offerings. Even without those reminders here in the sanctuary, I want to say that the people of God in Brookings and in Gold Beach and whatever church you're from, if you're watching from somewhere else, you can do exploits through the grace of God. You can be strong and help to strengthen the church by remembering your financial commitment to the church, whether it's tithes, which go to support the ministry and missions around the world. A certain amount of the tithe supports missionaries. Or whether it is money for local needs here, for local church budget and such as that. The fact that we're able to broadcast this, the equipment and so on that it takes. All these things take money. And so you will be receiving an email and a letter in the regular mail with an explanation of how you can continue to give. And I'll just say briefly that if you go to the BrookingsSDA.com website, the church webpage, not talking about the Facebook page, but the church webpage, and you look on the left side, and there will be a number of items, and one of them is online giving. You just click on that, and you can give online at the click of a button. It's very easy to do. If you don't use internet, we have made arrangements, and we'll be sending an envelope out in the mail, and you can send your offerings in. But whatever means that you do it, and I'm going to be giving my offerings this way and our family, but may it be that we could do exploits at this time to keep the church going financially in a time when there's just this great financial crisis in the world and in the country. Now, there may be some who, because of the coronavirus changes, have lost your job, and we understand that. And you may not be able to give as you were able to before. You may have needs, and we want to be keeping in touch with you, and please keep in touch with us so that we can know how we can help you. But for those of us that are able to continue to do so, it's very, very important. We had a meeting with the conference officials just the other day by computer, and we found out that if all the tithe were to stop in the Oregon Conference, God forbid that that would happen, but if it happened on one Sabbath, no more tithe came in for many weeks. The conference has enough money to keep everybody on board for about 3 months, and after that, that would be the end of the Oregon Conference. There would be no more pastors, there would be no more conference officials, there would be nothing left. So let's not let that happen. Let's keep supporting financially. I like the old saying, if it doesn't work financially, it doesn't work. Let's just remember that. Please remember your church in the things that you're doing at this time when we're living in these times, learning how to live in the last days. We want to take a look at another text about living in the last days. It comes in chapter 11, verse 33, the very next verse. And this one talks about being able to share your faith. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. I want you to notice that word, many. They that understand, those that have the gift of wisdom, those that are followers of Jesus, will be able to instruct people. And this will offer opportunities. This time that we're living, this unusual, unique crisis, gives us opportunities to share our faith in ways that we didn't have before. But it also describes the fact that some will fall. Yet shall they fall by the sword and by flame and by captivity and by spoil many days. And we could add by coronavirus. I just saw a notification of one of our church members up in Portland that showed a picture of his cousin that was the first person to die, I think it was in Wisconsin, of coronavirus. Is it possible that of the thousands that have died, there have been some of our fellow Seventh-day Adventist believers that have died of coronavirus? Are there more that might happen, that it could happen? The important thing is that we maintain our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God that we have the assurance of eternal life. But we can weather this storm. And now it says that there would be help that would come. Now when they shall fall, chapter 11, verse 34, they shall be holpen or helped with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. We're going to face unique challenges, whether it's through attacks of persecution or sickness, or whether it's through flatteries and temptations that are brought to us to get off the racetrack, to take off the off-ramp, off the highway, on the way to heaven. Whatever it is, let's not allow that. Let's keep the straight and narrow path as we live for Christ in these last days. But verse 35 describes a powerful, transforming effect that God's people will experience as they have to deal with some of these problems that can come up, and whatever kind they are, a transformational work that comes. Notice what it says of those who are wise in the next verse, Daniel 11, 35. And some of them of understanding, so who is that? That's God's people. Some of them of understanding shall fall. They shall experience some kind of what we might think of as failure. Will it be a spiritual crisis? It could be a physical failure, some type of financial failure, some type of any kind of problem that they might encounter. Some of them of understanding shall fall. What can happen in this process? To try them and to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for an appointed time. So are we encountering some difficulties? We are. Can this be a transforming experience for us? It can, by the grace of God. It does not have to destroy us. It can change us. It can actually make us more like Jesus. It can help us learn how to love, how to maintain our faith better than we did before. And so there's a transforming effect that comes from this experience that we're going through if we trust in Jesus Christ. Let's not let these trials and problems push us out of faith, but help it to strengthen our faith by His grace. Now we find a promise of the wise in Daniel 12, verse 3, which is about a powerful, powerful witness that comes. And it's going to have this word many again, like we had in the other verse. And this is one of my favorite verses for soul winners in Daniel 12, verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Many can be won to Christ as we live our faith and as we let our light shine. It talks about shining the light there. It talks about turning people to righteousness. And it talks about this wonderful witness that has this broad, far-reaching result and effect. And I just want to use an example right now in this connection that provides a powerful illustration of this truth, of many being turned to righteousness and of the light shining in a wonderful way through the people of God. An evangelist in the South by the name of Alan Walker had a wonderful ministry for many, many years, and he has passed to his rest years ago. But Alan Walker did evangelistic meetings all through the South, raising up churches, strengthening churches, and he had a special talent when it comes to arguing the doctrines of the faith. And he was not afraid of debates. He would actually hold debates with other denominations to build up the attendance at his meetings sometimes. And he even, after many years of running these debates and hearing every single argument that could be thrown at him about why the Sabbath is not on Saturday and why this and why that, objecting to the last day truths that we believe in. After hearing all of those, he finally sat down and wrote them all out in a book, a very interesting book called The Law and the Sabbath, one of the best books I've ever read about the Sabbath issue, the Sabbath Sunday issue. And Alan Walker was an evangelist there in the South, and he came along, and a family began attending his meetings by the name of Petty. And there was a woman, Lois Petty Knudsen, that many of you know. And this is Janice's mother, Janice Winslow's mother. And I have news to share with you that Lois passed away yesterday morning. And we want to think and remember Janice and Dwight and their extended family at this time because of this loss of the dear mother of Janice. But I share this story because it illustrates the truth of the text that we've just read. Alan Walker baptized Lois and her siblings, several of them, a family with seven children. How do you like that? And these kids grew up to become pastors and missionaries going to different parts of the world, including two that went to Peru. And this Alan Walker wasn't able to baptize everyone in the family, but eventually, after many years had gone by, there was one more that was ready for baptism and was ready to make that commitment. And in his 80s, he came and baptized the last member of the family. And we have in our midst someone who is the fruit of that effort. And it shows that there is a powerful, far-reaching effect, and many who become believers in Jesus Christ because of one person who let his light shine in a wonderful way. Let us let our light shine for Christ. We can't all be evangelists like Alan Walker. We can't all get up on the debate platform and argue the faith. We cannot all eloquently present it in a public way. Some can. You don't think you can, but you can. But whatever gift you have, whether it's to meet with people privately, to just be a good listener, to be a good friend, the gift of helps, being able to help someone in need, or the gift of being able to use one unique special talent that you have to help the church in the ministry of reaching out to people. Whatever the gift is, let your light shine, and I believe that there will be many who will be won to Christ. I heard about one man that was won to Jesus simply because he observed another man who was kind, and every time a lunch was served at a particular summer camp, this camp director would pull the chair out for the cook. The cook would finish cooking, you know. You know how the cooks always have to eat at the end, and they eat separate from everybody else. And the camp director would pull the chair out for this woman and seat her at the table. And one of the campers who came to that camp, not thinking that he wanted to be a Christian, a young man, and he witnessed this every day, the camp director doing this in the dining hall there at the camp. And he thought to himself, that is really great. I want to be a person like that, and I want to be a Christian. Simply because of a simple act of pulling out a chair and being kind and revealing the love and kindness and helpfulness of the Lord in our practical lives. Let your light so shine. Be a living witness in your person and character in these last days. That's part of being a Christian in the last days. We want to take a look at some promise here now in Daniel chapter 12, verse 10, which describes an understanding that is to come to the people of God. We're not only to be able to do things, but we're able to understand the times in which we live and to understand how to live, to understand ourselves, to understand others, this wonderful gift of understanding. Have you ever spoken to someone and you're sharing something on your heart, some burden, some difficulty, and you get it out, you get it off your chest, and the person says, "I understand." Isn't that a wonderful gift? It's like the most beautiful words you've ever heard. Understanding. And that's what's promised here in Daniel chapter 12, verse 10. Let's read that. "Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But the wise shall understand." God's people, to be a people who have understanding, understanding of one another, understanding of themselves, understanding of the times, understanding of priorities, understanding of what we need to do right now in light of this crisis. And I want to look at a couple of verses that go along with that. You know, there's some very interesting verses in the Bible that are relevant to our particular crisis. And I want to look at one of them, and I'll be sharing more, but one of them is right here in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 5. You know, we talk about social distancing. And here's a very good text on social distancing that you'll understand right away as we read it. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 5 speaks of times for things, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Haven't we reached that time right now with everything that is happening? Interesting that here the Bible even predicts that there would come a time like that when we should kind of have to keep a little bit of a physical distance, not a distance of our attitude or our heart or hard-heartedness or anything like that, but just a physical distancing. Let us remember that as for the basic meaning of it. Let us also take a look at Proverbs 27, verse 12, which describes it in another way, this sheltering in that has been recommended. And we don't have this law in Oregon. They did make a pronouncement in California about it, but there's some wisdom in it right here in Proverbs 27, verse 12, which says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." So there's a time when it's good to hide yourself in your house. There's a time when it's good not to embrace. There's a time when it's good to be careful, just in the way that we're being recommended to be careful that way. I want to look at another text that we often quote in connection to gathering together, but I want to apply this in a way of distance gathering. Now, those are two words that we don't put together. Are they distance gathering? Can we gather even at a distance? Yes, we can. Through the method that is recommended in our favorite verse about gathering together as a church. In Hebrews 10, 23, let us read. "Let us hold fast the faith, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." And how are we to do that? The next verse talks about that. And this is a very practical matter. "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." So it's about considering one another and encouraging one another. And I like that word love. I want to talk about that in a minute. I have a story I'm going to share. Love and good works. Keeping in touch with each other. Calling each other on the phone. Being there for a person in a way that you couldn't be maybe normally, but in a special way. Now we come about gathering, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. This phrase, one another, is used all through the Bible. We could make quite an interesting compilation. We are the church of God, and we are together, one another, and all kinds of things, love one another, so on and so forth like that. But I want to finish this message right now on the theme of love that was in the previous verse. The most important thing for us living in the last days is to remember that we are called to love. We cannot love on our own. We're selfish by nature. But by the grace of God, with His love in our hearts, His love overflowing out of our hearts, we can love. We can copy the Lord Jesus Christ. We won't be able to equal Him, but we can copy Him. And in this way of love, and we've read this verse many times, how will we be known as the last day people of God? Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. Love is the calling. Love is even the law of God. It is the fulfilling of the law. And there is a story of a man who illustrated this by example in his own life in a special way that I want to close with. This young man worked at a certain place of business, and there was a young woman there that worked with him that he was very attracted to, and he thought, wow, I wish I could ask her out. I wish I could spend a little more time with her, but he was very shy. He was afraid to say anything to her. So he got this idea, I will send her a rose. I'll call the flower company and ask them to deliver her a rose. And so one day she receives this rose, and it doesn't have a name attached. She doesn't know who it's from. And the next day, she received another one. And the next day, again, another rose. By the time the fourth day came along and she'd received four roses, she got really curious and she was able to call the flower shop and ask them, how is it that I keep getting these anonymous roses? And the man there at the flower shop, and this happened many years ago and it's a true story, the man told her, well, this is so-and-so, and she recognized the name. That was her co-worker who worked with her, this other young man. And so she showed up at work the next day, and she said, hello, I'm curious about these roses. What's this all about? And he said, you know, I wanted to ask you out, but I was shy, and I was afraid, and so I just thought I would send you these roses because I really would like to ask you out, but I just didn't have the courage to ask you. And bless her heart, she had an open mind to him, and she said, I'd be happy to go out with you. And they began dating each other, and every day she kept getting these roses. And pretty soon, he got on the knee and proposed, you know, and she said yes. They had their wedding and had a honeymoon, and the roses kept coming. And the last day of the honeymoon, she thought to herself, well, surely this will be the end. I mean, isn't that the way it is with marriage? After the honeymoon, then the reality sets in, and no more honeymoon feeling like that. Hopefully not. I hope your marriages don't have that. But anyway, you always have to nurture love, don't you? And this man, this new husband, this groom, continued to give her a flower every day. After the honeymoon, the flowers kept coming every single day. And do you know, throughout their married life, and they were married for many years, she received a flower that was delivered to her by her husband or by whoever was delivering every single day throughout their married life until one day this man came to the end of his life and he passed away. And can you believe it? The day after he passed away, another rose right on schedule was delivered. And she called up the flower shop and said, you know, I understand maybe he forgot, he had a standing order and he forgot to, tell you to stop sending these flowers. And the flower shop owner said, no, that wasn't it. He said, your husband has arranged for you to receive a rose every day for the rest of your life. And she lived for 9 more years. Now, that man who did that was a very famous entertainer by the name of Jack Benny. And I heard this story from a sermon that I actually listened to recently from a well-known evangelist. And I would just simply say that this is a beautiful example of the kind of love that God calls us to show, that God loves us with, first of all, and that he can produce in us for other people. And as we go through this coronavirus, let us remember the gift of love. We may not agree with everyone, but we can love everyone. Not everybody out there in the community is going to agree with everything that we say, but they are going to believe everything that we do. And if they can see that we love one another, and they can see that we love them, it will make a lasting impression. And so today, God bless you on this Sabbath as you stay in your homes or get out and do your hikes or whatever you're going to be doing. May you experience the blessing of the Lord in your isolated situation, and yet we're together in spirit. And I would like to close with a word of prayer, and then I'll mention some other things that are coming up. But let's just pause for just a moment. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you will bless everyone today with the gift of your love, with the gift of understanding, with the gift of spiritual strength, with a unique gift of being able to even share the beauties of the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ with other people. Maybe now in ways it's easier to do than it even was before, because people may be thinking about things like this. But we pray that you will bless everyone in the Brookings Church, everyone in the Gold Beach Church, and in every other church throughout this community and this country in this unique time that we live in. And we're all kind of in the same boat here, no matter where we're from, what our background is, even across the boundaries of denominations and churches and state lines and age ranges and economic status and what have you. We are all in this together. And so we pray this, claiming your promise that you will never leave us or forsake us, and that nothing can separate us from your love. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, we will continue our broadcast of our evangelistic meetings at 6 o'clock with the topic, The Man of Revelation. Tune in at 6 o'clock. Now, there are many other options for other types of worship experiences online today, and I hope you can take advantage of some of those beyond this one, or maybe you already took some before. But God bless you and keep you. God be with you and strengthen you, and we'll see you next time.